from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And it appears as though the city of Buffalo, parts of it, particularly the west side and even the city Mission, have been affected by a tornado. Let's go right now to a man you heard on earlier with David Bellavia, who did phenomenal work, of course, covering the breaking news of the possible tornado. Andy, it's good to speak with you once again, although I wish it was under different and better circumstances. First of all, just a basic question. What is the meteorological and accepted definition of a tornado?
Tornado, that's where you have a swirl of wind that descends from a cloud and then comes in contact with the ground. Sometimes it doesn't even have to come in contact with the ground. It can drop out of the sky. You could see it visually, but then it'll go back up into the cloud. Sometimes they'll call those funnels. And then the degree of damage is ranked on a scale of 1 to 5, where you get the EF 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's even a 0 for something that just literally scrapes the ground but doesn't cause a lot of damage going by.
Can we talk about, as you know, weather can change very, very quickly, and anybody who's ever spent any time around Lake Erie knows that feeling of within 30 seconds, the wind can suddenly pick up. Within 60 seconds, things are being blown all over the beach, and within 90 seconds, you find yourself in the middle of a tumultuous rainstorm. What was the tracking on this particular possible tornado?
Yeah, the way this worked out today was we had some storms that kind of billowed up right in the 11 or 12 o'clock hour. Now, what happened was we had a frontal boundary, kind of a dividing line that was draped across southern Ontario, right across the Niagara River through downtown, and then eastward as you go West Seneca and Marilla, even almost up to Clarence. And we had the storms fire up right along those lines. And for about an hour, it just torrentially rained in South Buffalo, Blaisdell, and West Seneca. Lightning bolts were actually being thrown out of the storm, so we had some clear air lightning today. So people that weren't getting rained on were the recipient of the lightning. That happened in Orchard Park. Then, all of a sudden, we get a cell that develops over southern Ontario in about the 12 o'clock hour, and we start hearing reports. I got some texts that, hey, we're seeing a funnel cloud. It's not unheard of, because you've got the lake right there and you're thinking, okay, it might be a water spout if this thing comes over. I go to the camera, turn it on, point it that direction, and I've got a bird's eye view of all of Fort Erie. And in the distance through the rain cloud there, you can kind of see something, zoom in. All of a sudden, there it is. You've got a funnel spinning over the land over in Fort Erie. And then it just keeps coming closer and closer. It crosses the Niagara River. You can see the outline of the funnel on the water. It's pulling up the water into the air a bit, and then it crosses that break wall. And if you know where the band shelter is in LaSalle Park, yep, it enters just to the right of that band shelter. You can see the trees bending sideways. Now, nothing was ripped out of the ground there. There might have been one tree that I spotted that may have tipped over there, but then it continues. You can see it hop the 190, impacting the fully foliaged trees as it makes its way into the lower west side, and then it crossed over and began making some damage marks in downtown, pulling up the bricks of a building. And boy, if you look near Johnson Park, I believe, and some of the streets downtown, those old growth trees were not able to handle that very sharp increase in wind. And just like when you see tornadoes, if you're a block away, you're unaffected. But when you're right under the thing, you could have winds between 70 or 100 miles an hour, and that very quick wind gust and wind shift on a fully foliaged, old-growth tree is enough to knock them down, and branches came down numerous. And there's a report of a car that was flipped. I know that's going around over by the City Mission, I believe. So this thing stayed together well inland far enough, and it created damage that is going to be ranked on probably the EF0 or EF1 scale. So when we look back at the track of this, it began over land, not over water. It skipped over the Niagara River, which really is an insignificant portion of its path, and then continued on even over land. Now, water spouts originate over the water. Once they come into contact with the land, they lose the mechanism that caused them to form, and they'll retract into the sky, and you'll see a funnel. Sometimes the funnel in the sky will go as far inland as Hamburg, but this has all the makings of a tornado. I think that's what it's going to go down as an EF0, EF1 tornado.
Andy, I say this with great affection and respect. You are a weather wonk. It's what you do. It's your avocation, sir. Any record previously of any tornado in the meteorological archives of the city of Buffalo?
The city proper. It's been a while since one rolled through here. In the early 2000s, we had a similar situation where there was a frontal system near the city. You had an area of storms that were dropping from the northwest. So they were coming from, let's say, like London and Hamilton, and they were racing down, and you had a lake breeze that was already blowing, and those two storms collided, and it spun up, and there was a tornado. But that was, I think, a little further inland. It wasn't right on the waterfront and through downtown. But that's the closest reported tornado to this location was probably back in the early 2000s. I don't have an exact year because I remember it. I was fishing in the morning and things turned really, really ugly. And I got in and that's how that day unfolded. And it happened in a similar fashion as today, where the storms blew up. You had a quick funnel. It didn't last all that long, and then it didn't cause a ton of damage. But it definitely, for the folks that lost these tree branches, I mean, there are some of those one-lane or one-and-a-half-lane city streets that are completely filled with huge, huge branches, probably a foot and a half, 2 feet in diameter, that, you know, fall from about 50 to 70 feet up. These big old-growth trees just begin shedding those branches, and the city of Buffalo's got some cleanup work to do.
Andy Parker, meteorologist, with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. In just a few minutes, we'll be giving you the phone number at which you can sign up for Andy's weather alerts and information. You referenced earlier a camera that you turned in the direction of the tumult that was going on in the skies. At your house, do you have a camera that you can elevate to a certain altitude to get a better panoramic view of the area around you and beyond?
Yeah, this one is actually on top of a building in downtown Buffalo, and it's got a great southern view, western view, and then west-northwest, because, as you know, most of our weather comes from the west, so that's where you want to have the camera. So that's where I have it positioned. It's a robotic camera, can zoom in. It's got a 50x optical zoom with a digital that goes beyond that, so if you're familiar with the tops on Niagara, I can read the specials that they put in the window on the tops of Niagara from that that camera vantage point. So being able to zoom into southern Ontario and spot the funnel as it was spinning was a pretty easy task with that piece of equipment.
Well, I certainly hope you're not deep state NSA. I'm kind of concerned, Andy. Andy Parker, meteorologist, with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. So that camera is yours, and you are able to remotely operate it as the conditions develop?
That's correct. Yeah, it works for all four seasons, whether it's funnel clouds, whether it's lake effect, thunderstorms, you name it.
One of the questions that came up during the news conference, I believe, is, gosh, how come we didn't get a tornado warning or a tornado watch from the National Weather Service? Do you have a scientific explanation for that? And again, we're not casting any accusatory fingers at anybody, but why wouldn't there have been a warning or a watch put up?
In this situation, I think it might have been that the funnel that was occurring was in close proximity to the shoreline of Lake Erie. And it might have been something where it was a it could have been viewed as, hey, this might be kind of something that's limited to the marine area. And so when if there was any question, maybe it was a waterspout, maybe it's a tornado. You know, you don't want to issue a tornado warning for a waterspout. Otherwise, we'd have these things. We'd hear them all the time. So if there was a question mark, you know, in the minds of the Weather Service that this might have been a waterspout, they don't want to elevate it to a tornado warning. So that's the only thing that I could think that would prevent that. And then by the time that it did come across and began doing damage, it dissipated. So I think the opportunity to pull the trigger on the tornado warning might have been very, very limited.
And this, of course, when I ask that question, I want to make it very clear. In no way, shape, or form is that meant to be an accusation against the National Weather Service. I think we all understand that these weather situations are very fluid and very dynamic. But at the same time, kind of wonder, well, gee, how come we didn't get more of a heads up? And I think you've properly explained that in a way that, hey, even I can understand it. Now, you talked earlier about the water spouts, which we frequently see on Lake Erie. Tim Wenger spends a great deal of time along the lake, and he's certainly seen his share of water spouts, but typically they lose their energy as they get closer to land and over land. They just become non-funnels, if you will. Is it unusual for you talked about the short different distance across the river it had to traverse. Is it unusual for a real tornado to not get the wind knocked out of its sails when it goes over a body of water, however narrow it might be?
No, it really doesn't matter at that point. It's formed from a different mechanism. So the water spouts, you have a very warm lake, 77 degrees. And then if you have air above it that's much cooler, you have rising air. The warmth of the lake rises into the air, and then it begins to twist. And so that's how you get these water spouts or funnels that form over the water. They don't extend high up into the cloud. They really only occur right at the surface, where tornadoes oftentimes will form higher up in these clouds. And then the twist or the roll that happens in the clouds gets bent by the rising and falling air, so that the roll, the actual spin occurs in the clouds, and then it can tip down and come in contact with the earth. So it's the mechanism above the clouds that causes the tornado rather than below on the surface. So a tornado really doesn't care what it's going over, whether it's land, water, buildings. For it to pull back up, that means the mechanism in the cloud that created it is what's dissipated. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what it's going over at that point.
If you're just joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN, all indications are that we had a tornado hit Buffalo, the west side primarily, at about 12:50 this afternoon. That's why we have meteorologist Andy Parker on with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Andy, as you were watching this thing, was it a tornado that was in constant contact with the ground, or did it kind of jump up and down?
From what I saw over the span of time that I could observe it over southern Ontario when it first appeared through kind of the rain shaft, and you could visibly see it, it was in contact with the ground. You could see that it was disturbing any of the trees that it had contact with up until the shoreline. You could see that it was in contact with the river as it came across, hopping the break wall. You had the sea spray thrown up in the air, and then when it hit the break wall at LaSalle Park, it was a constant track that went right through, again, just to the right of that band shell. And then straight on, it almost hit a crane. There's a crane there. If it was another 50 or 100 feet to the north, it might have twisted that and thrown it around. But as I mentioned, it just went right through, shot the gap, crossed the 190, hopped into the west side near Johnson Park, lower west side, and then moved its way through downtown, pulling up cars. And then the tops of there was a brick building. Now, I don't know if it was under construction or if it was something that was just a feeble at this age of the structure, but it began pulling sheets of bricks and just dumping the top of that building back down upon itself. One of the most interesting pictures just came into me. I'm looking at it right now. It is a telephone pole that is sheared about 10 feet off the ground. I'll be posting that on social media as well as a one-way sign that's now upside down on that. It's kind of, I think that'll be one of the iconic pictures of what this cleanup caused. But I also, Tom, have a time lapse of exactly what I'm trying to describe with words. If you wanted to look at that, it takes you from the moment you see this thing over Canada and Fort Erie, and it comes right across the lake. Exactly what I'm describing to you, you can actually go and visualize on the social media.
And how long is that time lapse? How long from point A to the conclusion?
I've compressed it so the folks that aren't super into weather can watch it in about 38 seconds, but it's probably about an eight-minute video that takes it from southern Ontario on through downtown.
That is amazing. Now, obviously, you're a trained and very respected meteorologist around here in Western New York, and I'm sure nationwide, but only the National Weather Service can officially, for administrative and aid and I suppose insurance purposes, declare that it was or was not a tornado. In terms of evidence, what does the National Weather Service consider when determining whether something is, in fact, a tornado or something else?
Yeah, they're going to look for a couple things. Number one, you want to determine the strength of the winds. And there's a scale called the Beaufort scale, and you can actually look at the damage. And as you survey it, you'll see, well, what was knocked down? Is it a sporadic branch here and there? Is it all a series of large branches? Is there anything that was toppled, a building, sheared things that were snapped, as opposed to when a pine tree tips and you see the whole of the root system come up, or something that was literally snapped like you'd snap a toothpick in half. So it's the type of damage you're going to look for. That's going to give you a key to the strength of the winds. And then if there's a damage pattern or path, so they'll look for a path of damage and say, okay, we can see that the damage occurred here, then continued on, and then the damage path will come to an end, a defined end, and that's what you'll have, the ground where it scraped the ground. And so you have the strength of the winds, you'll have the damage path, and then you'll look for any particular positioning of the damage. Is damage at one, are things pointing in one direction in this side, and on the other side, are they pointing the other direction? You might have had a tree toppled one direction on the right-hand side, and then on the opposite side, a different. So if there's a swirl to the damage, that's a good indicator that it's not straight-line wind. Now, with all the video from this, a lot of times the meteorologists will go out, and if we're ever asked to assess a damage pattern, if there's no video of it, you first have to say, well, was this just one big gust that came out of a storm and it knocked down a tree and people are saying, oh, it felt like a tornado, right? This has the video, Tom. The video evidence shows exactly the funnel. So it's not a question of was there a funnel. It was. The question that they're going to answer is, what were the maximum sustained winds within this funnel, the gusts, what were the damage that will, rate it an EF0 or an EF1, and then they'll show where it came from, and the origin is from land over water back to land. So by all rights, this is going to go down as a tornado. I think they're going to do a very thorough but yet expedient assessment of this, and there's enough evidence here that it should be a slam dunk to answer that question in very short order, maybe even by the news cycle tonight, depending on the availability of their investigators.
Meteorologist Andy Parker, you've mentioned your social media outlets so people can look at the videos and also sign up for your weather alerts and weather information. So why don't you pass along that information to folks so they can be as smart as you are when it comes to weather?
You got it. Hey, no matter where you're at on social media, if you're on Facebook or X or YouTube, just type in Andy Parker TV to the search, and it'll pull it right up. It's right there, front and center. The other thing is, if you want to have a little more contact, be able to reach out and text a meteorologist whenever you need to, or when things get a little ugly in the sky around you, you want to know what's going on, you can text me personally if you type 716-503-2639. It's 716-503-2639. And if you can't remember that, it's really just 503-ANDY. And just type the word weather. And if you text me the word weather, I'm going to get you something right back. If you have specific questions, somebody's getting married, you're traveling from out of town, things like that, feel free to shoot it over, and we'll get you some answers back.
So, Andy, did you enjoy the interview with me as much as you did the one with David Bellavia?
This one was very engaging, Tom. You asked some great questions, top-notch
stuff.
Well,
so did David. So did David. I mean,
we were in the heat of it, though. It was new information. We had time here to kind of get into the minutia of it. So I enjoyed this one. That one was kind of literally as it was happening. So this one I enjoyed.
Well, David and you right on top of it, as always. Andy, I'm sure we'll talk later. Thanks a million, buddy.
You got it, buddy.
Meteorologist Andy Parker on News Radio 930 WBEN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Meteorologist Andy Parker, who was on this story from the moment it broke, with David Bellavia leading the charge, which is nothing new for David Bellavia, you're probably aware, but meteorologist Andy Parker with us. Andy, you said before the National Weather Service, you said it was a tornado, and the Weather Service, within, 2.5 hours of touchdown, officially declared that it was a tornado, even though we don't know whether it'll be an F0 or an F1. So well done you, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much photographic evidence out there. I mean, if you look at the WBEN Twitter, all this stuff coming in, the video that I grabbed of it, it was a pretty evident that it was a funnel. And then the origin of the funnel wasn't out over the lake. This came from the land over southern Ontario and Fort Erie, and then crossed a portion of the water, hitting downtown, the lower west side. Actually, I used to live in the spot, Rabine Terrace, behind the Avant downtown. And so I know the area very well. And those are some big old trees full of leaves that canopy the street over by Johnson Park. And that's where, when the tornado got to that portion of downtown, it narrowed. And another piece of video, which I just posted on my social media at Andy Parker TV, shows how narrow this thing was. And sometimes you hear about monster tornadoes, Tom, where they're a mile wide and they're clearing cornfields out west. This thing was down to about the size, half the size of a lot in the city. And so maybe about the size of the house, the diameter. And that's how narrow it got. And it literally dances across Elmwood Avenue, very close to Channel 2, and then hops over and then goes and hits the city mission or crosses through without leaving a trail of damage right between Elmwood and Delaware. And then when it gets over towards Main Street, it picked up some power and knocked down a few things there. So that's the track of this. It really originated in Canada, and then it's an international traveling tornado, I guess.
Well, it probably crossed the river and the borders faster than most people do, who are doing it legally in the northern border anyway, in Buffalo here. It's News Radio 930 WBEN. Meteorologist Andy Parker is with us. Andy, my next question was actually going to be about Johnson Park and adjacent streets because, number one, you've got some very old and very beautiful and ornate houses. Number two, you've got all of those ancient trees, which add such a charm to an urban environment. It's kind of a special place, Johnson Park, within the city of Buffalo. Have you gotten any reports at all about any significant tree damage or damage to roofs along Johnson Park?
I actually used the camera that we have there to survey some of the rooftops, and it doesn't appear that the roofs were torn off, but it was really just as we mentioned, those big old trees that canopy Carolina Street, those seem to have caught, you know, as that swirl of wind comes through at 70 to 90 miles an hour, and it's a tight swirling vortex. And when it catches it, it's enough to snap those big branches. They're now cleaning up down there with those huge front loaders that kind of open the jaw and it can pick it up. So it's not even where you're down there with a chainsaw, but they're using those large construction vehicles to grab the branches and just kind of drag them to a spot, and then they can probably tear them up from there.
So what is the current situation and the situation, let's say, looking 3 to 5 hours ahead? Because looks like we've got some more cells heading our way.
Yeah, that we do. Looking at the radar right now, it's the North Towns. There was some flooding up along Sheridan Drive. So this shifted from kind of Buffalo and West Seneca were just inundated with the rain earlier in the afternoon. In the middle of the afternoon, it moved up to Clarence and Tonawanda, Amherst, and it was the train of rain just kind of rolling right through there for about an hour, and that put down a fair amount of water in a short amount of time, and Sheridan Drive does not handle that. That's not a good combination. That has since moved northward towards Niagara Falls. Everyone is about to get wet, whether you're up in Youngstown and Fort Niagara, or you're all the way down in Erie, Pennsylvania, Bradford. We're going to see a shot of rain. Now, it's not going to be the pedigree that what came through here earlier today. If you're points south, it's going to be a steady rain, but it is not severe weather. The only spot on the map where we're still watching what would be severe level weather is extending from extreme eastern Erie County, just called Newstead, and over by Corfu, and then extending south of Batavia. That's where the most active weather is. Up by Niagara Falls, it's raining pretty good, and I think we're going to see that particular boundary move northward. So Lockport, a lot of folks have been kind of on the outside looking in central Niagara County. That's about to change pretty rapidly as the rain begins to move through Lewiston, Lockport, Middleport, Medina, and even up into Albion. So we're not done with the rain yet. Behind it, it looks like it gets more scattered, Tom. So there's hope for some evening plans, let's say post 6 o'clock.
How about Darien?
Out in Darien, I think that's one that's getting they're right on the fringe of a lot of they're getting hit right now. As I look at it, I just zoomed in on Darien. Not a place you want to be at this point, but again, another hour and a half down the line, and I think a lot of this rain will have passed by around maybe between 6 and 6:30.
Well, actually, Andy, Darien is an old Native American word, and it means don't speed in our town. Just thought you should know that for future reference.
Meteorologist,
absolutely. Andy Parker is with us, and you can find him online. Just do a search for Andy Parker TV, and you will see his chiseled good looks and his amazing command of all things weather. It is what he does. It is what he's always done. It is his passion, his avocation, and he is so informative when it comes to any of these weather events. And you know, Andy, we had Max Ferry on with us just a few moments ago describing the fact that what he's most going to remember is leaving his vehicle and walking around to cover the news. He's not some idle sightseer. He's doing a job to keep the rest of the public informed. And the last storm I can remember that brought down so many trees, I have to think back to the October surprise storm of 2006, which caused monumental damage in western New York and power outages across a wide swathe of territory, some of which lasted for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there were people without power for a very long time, and it was not during a great time of year where you wanted to be without power. And that covered such a wide area. You could, if you could get through the streets, you were able to drive, and it was community after community. It just seemed it would just unfold. As soon as you leave one, the next one looks worse. This has a lot of damage, but it's much more isolated, right in the core. We'll call it the historic West Village, if you want to get creative to be exactly where that is. Very, very narrowly missing some historic buildings. Some of the high rises were almost tangled up in that. The Avant is right there. I think that's the last big high rise. And the Delaware North building, there were some people that went to the windows with their cell phones right away. and looked out at it as it literally crossed the street about a block and a half away. I just posted a piece of video of that, and to have that kind of view, that front row seat of the actual vortex just dancing across the street is pretty interesting. That's something that we see here every day.
And Andy, we are so grateful that we haven't had any reports of injuries, not even minor injuries, no reports of any fatalities or serious injuries for that matter. And I want to talk to you about the velocity at which bricks and even pieces of straw and parts of trees can hurl through the air, adding an extra element of danger in addition to the storm itself and trees falling on your house, which really makes this no fatality situation pretty amazing, considering what can happen when things are flying through the air. So stay with us on WBEN, please. Meteorologist Andy Parker is with us, and Andy jumped on immediately with David Bellavia after we started getting word of possible tornado hitting in western New York, and the City Mission was affected, City Hall affected, and many other structures affected. And you might have an issue, depending on where you live, getting home from work today. So don't go anywhere. Andy, when the winds of a tornado are swirling and you've got sheet metal and large branches and bricks flying through the air, at what velocity are they hurtling generally in a tornado like this?
Yeah, when you're looking at things like that, there's an EF rating that goes from 0 to 5. And so if you're an EF 0, you have 65 to 85 mile an hour. And those are the measured in 3-second bursts. So if you have a quick burst of wind that's measured in that range in an EF 0, it's 65 to 85. 86 to 110 is what gets you up to a level 1. And then you've got to go 111 to 135, which is, you know, kind of where you'd have to be at. Then you can break that down and look at the damage and say, well, how would you know if there's nobody there measuring it, you know, with a wind vane or an anemometer? How do you figure it out? Well, you start looking at, you know, whether there's some softwood trees that were tipped over or hardwoods that broke, a freestanding pole or light pole, was it tipped over or snapped? That makes a whole difference. Transmission lines, like power lines, were they tangled and twisted? A lot of different things. Metal building systems start coming down in there as well. When you say things were ripped off of a building, and there's, you know, the visible damage that you can see on the outside, like a metal roof or wall panels, if they're pulled or sucked from a building, that type of thing. That gets you into that 75 to 80. So again, you're on the borderline of the 0 or 1. When you start thinking about the bricks, that's an interesting one. And looking at this, where you think, well, geez, where are we at with the, you know, like a, I don't know, it's a, I don't want to call it an institutional building, but it's a more than just an outlying structure, but it's the facade of a well-built structure, and that's where you're on in the 80 to 100. So this has a real shot at looking at those bricks that were being pulled and sucked off of that building. I think it's going to end up between 80 and 100 and probably in the an F1 scale, at least for a portion of the time. It's not the entirety of the path, because when I saw it live coming across the Niagara River and entering LaSalle Park, it was not doing EF1 damage. It was more of an EF0. It was definitely twisting, bending. Everything was moving, but nothing got ripped, snapped, or blown away. And then once it crossed over the 190 into the lower west side, that's when I think the funnel, the size of the funnel, narrowed. If you look at the video that I've got online on my social media page at Andy Parker TV, you can very clearly see in high def how wide the vortex is, and then it tightens and strengthens once it crosses over into the lower west side. And we've had the visual evidence that it really narrowed. It almost looks like you'd call it a pencil tip as it moves across through the streets of downtown Buffalo. And that's when it did the most damage, but in a very isolated, narrow area. It wasn't the whole swath of downtown. You could be a block away, as evidenced by the people who were taking the video from a block away. You're unaffected, but you're seeing the funnel and you're seeing the debris, be it papers or whatever else, is being, you know, lofted up into the air, a very uneasy feeling. And then the realization when you hear some of the audio that I'm sure we can't play unedited on WBEN, but the realization that people watching, you know, look at that, look, it's a gust of wind. No, it's a tornado. And then, you know, that's kind of a pretty wild thing. And then that's when they, you know, kind of take some cover. But there were so many cell phones turned on this thing at one point or another. And then some really good footage, me included, that we were able to provide and put out there of the origin of this, where it formed, how it moved through. It's a well-documented tornadic episode for Buffalo.
Well, Andy, I have a hard time believing that you have ever let loose with any language which would be unsanctioned by the FCC and which would result in a significant fine being levied on the radio station. Such is the purity and the goodness of your vocabulary, even under the most trying meteorological conditions. And I'm sure the radio station is going to bother you again at some point today. So rest up, my friend. Rest up.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Tom. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Meteorologist Andy Parker. You can just look up Andy Parker TV and find all of the information just referenced by Andy Parker. You can also go to WBEN.com and see some of the videos and photos sent to us by people at newsroom@WBEN.com. Weather Service has confirmed it was an EF1 tornado. EF1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.